listening to LSU Daily with Matt Moscona, your home for all the latest Tiger news. Part of the Guarantee Podcast Network.
Okay, let's get it. It is LSU Daily from Drop Biscuit Studios, a Southern home for storytellers. I'm Matt Moscona. Glad to have you aboard with us here. If you haven't noticed, the LSU-Purdue line for the Citrus Bowl has jumped to LSU as a 10-point favorite now. That's on the news that Purdue head coach Jeff Brohm is leaving Purdue to return to his alma mater, Louisville, to be the head coach. So a game that opened around a 5-point line has now since doubled in a matter of a couple of days because of that news. We're going to head to West Lafayette in just a little bit to get a boots-on-the-ground update from Purdue and what's going on there now as they prepare for the Citrus Bowl against LSU. The LSU season, of course, regular season came to an end on Saturday night in the Georgia Dome there in Atlanta. And so subsequent, we knew that with this week, with the transfer portal opening and everything, we would start to get all these declarations about guys entering the draft or entering the transfer portal or whatever the case may be. Monday, we got great news with Kayshon Boutte announcing that he was returning to LSU. Yesterday, the not too surprising news that Jack Besh was jumping in the transfer portal. We also learned, obviously, Tuesday that Demaryius McGee was entering the transfer portal. And today, the latest declaration that we got comes from defensive back Jay Ward, who put on all of his social media that he is entering the NFL draft. This should not come as a great surprise. I remember Jay Ward did go through the senior day festivities against UAB. So Ward, who signed with LSU in 2019, had an extra year because of COVID. He could have come back and been a super senior next year, but he played 4 years in Baton Rouge and now has decided he's going to go on and begin his NFL journey. And we wish him certainly all the luck there. The other really bit of really good news for Jay Ward is that he has also accepted an invite to participate in the Reese's Senior Bowl. So congrats to Jay Ward on that, who is he's really been a pretty terrific player. Muse, jump in real quick here. I mentioned Muse and Hanny were hosted Eagle 98.1 Game Day all year. And part of Eagle 98.1 Game Day, Muse interviewed Jim Nagy, who's the executive director of the Senior Bowl. We talked about this, I think, when Ollie Gay accepted his Senior Bowl invite. Did you all talk about Jay Ward?
A lot.
Yeah?
Yeah, they really like Jay Ward. He was actually featured on their social media a couple different times as well, Matt, as like they do a Senior Bowl player of the week or Senior Bowl matchup to watch. Multiple times he was the player of the week and the matchup to watch. So they are really, really high on Jay Ward.
Yeah, I'm excited for Jay Ward. He's a guy, when he, you know, he came to LSU back in the 2019 season as a four-star. And you know, that was, of course, the national championship season. And he's a guy that's sort of ridden the ebbs and the flows. He came in 2019 and probably won a national championship. Played in 13 games that year. Actually saw extensive playing time against Oklahoma because LSU hung 63 in Oklahoma. He got to play a lot. But was primarily a special team guy and a backup guy. But in that season when LSU blew everybody out, he got to play a good bit. And then in 2020, he really made he had such a knack for making enormous plays. Most notably was the juggling interception on the sideline against Florida where it dinked and doinked and was tipped five times and came up with the pick. It was, of course, the fog game that LSU won. But remember, Jay Ward blocked a field goal in the Arkansas game. That was the game that LSU narrowly won when Finley threw the late touchdown pass in that rain up in Fayetteville. I mean, Ward blocked a field goal in that game. Against Ole Miss, he had two interceptions, including a pick six. That was the game in the driving rainstorm, the regular season finale. So, boy, he, as a sophomore, developed this real knack for big plays, and we were really excited about Jay Ward, you know, as a cornerback moving forward. But because of, sort of out of necessity, in 2021, I remember 2020, Ricks came in as a freshman, Stingley battled injury in 2020, so he didn't play a ton. And you saw McLaughlin emerge late in that year as well. But Ward in 2021 moved to safety kind of out of necessity, some injuries and some defections. So we were really excited about seeing him stay in that sort of nickel role. He moved back to safety in 2021 because the team needed him to, which is where he played primarily this year as well. So as a pro prospect, Jay Ward is really intriguing because he can play corner, he can play nickel, he can play dime, he can play safety. He's so versatile in the secondary at 6'2", 190 pounds, that anybody who drafts him can put him almost anywhere in that secondary, and that he can also play special teams. So just think about, like, just for example, the Saints this year with all of the injuries they've had, with Lattimore being injured and Roby being injured. Lonte Taylor was injured at the start of the season. Paulson Adebo had the knee injury. So you were looking for guys that could play anywhere. That could be a nickel, that could play outside, that could drop back and play safety, play time. And Ward is that guy, and he's going to be such a valuable piece for whatever team drafts him. So congrats to Jay Ward. He's declared for the draft. He's going to play in the Senior Bowl. The other really good piece of information for LSU, and I believe Jock Doucet is the first to report this, Jay Ward said he will play in the bowl game. So he's declared for the draft, but Jay Ward will play in the Citrus Bowl against Purdue, which is great news for LSU. But it also brings up the point about the secondary and how LSU looks ahead to the secondary in that spot for 2023. So you're losing Joe Fouché, who's a super senior, and now you're losing Jay Ward. Of course, those are just among your safeties. Remember, Greg Brooks can come back as a super senior. Major Burns will return. Sage Ryan, who has played nickel for you, likely returns. Derek Davis will return. Remember, they redshirted him this year, but he played running back against UAB. And Brian Kelly even said, man, they should have moved him running back sooner. Does Derek Davis play next year at safety, or does he move to the offensive side? That remains to be seen. And then, of course, you signed Jordan Allen as cornerback in this last year's class, but you moved him to safety. So, you're losing Fouché and Ward. You might get Greg Brooks back. We'll see. But you have Burns and Ryan and Allen. And then freshmen coming in this class. And you're also waiting on decisions at corner as well. Remember, not only can Greg Brooks come back as a super senior, but Seven Banks has the option to return as well for another year. Mekhi Garner has the option to return for a sixth season. Mistakenly, I've been calling Mekhi Garner a super senior. He's not. He's got another year. He played in 2018 in JUCO, and he played in 2019, but only two games. That actually counted as a redshirt year in 2019. And then everybody got the free year for COVID. So he played in 2021 at ULL and this year at LSU. So really, he just played the JUCO year, a redshirt year, the COVID year. So neither of those count. Then the last 2 years at LSU, ULL. So he's got one more year. So Mekhi Garner has to make a decision as well. Either way, LSU is going to have to go really push hard for some of the more prominent cornerback and defensive back recruits in the country to see if someone could come in immediately and play as a freshman. But the other part of that is you're going to have to hammer the portal, but you're waiting on these decisions as well. Do you get Banks and Brooks and Garner back? If you do, along with Ryan and Burns and Allen and then the other guys like LeTerrence Welch, who redshirted this year, now you've built some depth there. But really, with experience, really, it's so critical to see if these guys will return, because if you don't get Seven Banks and Greg Brooks and Mekhi Garner back, now you're like in DEFCON 5 going into this offseason. You've got to just go hammer the portal. You're essentially the exact same situation you were a year ago with respect to your secondary. So congrats to Jay Ward. He's declared for the draft and no doubt will be a stay healthy and have a really long and prosperous pro career. Okay, an update from Purdue from Mick Walker of 247 Sports is next here on LSU Daily. Of course, LSU on January 2nd is going to take on Purdue in the Citrus Bowl. First time those two teams will match up in history. A game that opened around a 5-point line with LSU as the favorite has jumped to 10 now with the news that Jeff Brohm is leaving Purdue, heading back to his alma mater to be the new head coach at Louisville. So what does this mean for the Boilermakers against LSU on January 2? Let's head up to West Lafayette. Mick Walker covers Purdue for 247 Sports. He's on Twitter at MickWalker247. Good enough to hang out with us here for a couple of minutes. Mick, thank you for the time. How are you?
Good. I'm doing good. Appreciate you guys having me on.
It's our pleasure, and we appreciate you because coaching searches, that is crazy season right now. So we appreciate you for making time. Let's just start off, if we could, with the Jeff Brohm decision. What can you tell us about the timeline? Because that certainly seemed like that accelerated quickly.
Yeah, I mean, on Monday at his weekly press conference, he said he had not talked to Louisville yet. And obviously today's Wednesday evening, and broke this morning that he would be headed back to Louisville as the head coach, which is where he obviously played and coached as an assistant. And I think that's really the story there. He has a lot of deep ties. His dad coached in the area as a high school coach. Him and his two brothers played there. So I think when that opportunity presented itself, it was going to be hard for him to say no a second time to going home.
He had the opportunity, I believe, about 4 years ago, decided to stay at Purdue. So what does this mean now for Purdue for the Citrus Bowl. Who coaches the team?
Yeah, I reported earlier, and I think it started to become more public that his brother, Brian Brom, who's the offensive coordinator, will be the interim head coach for Purdue. He's also probably expected to go with his brother to Louisville. He's also another Louisville guy, played there, played quarterback, played high school there. But I expect that is not going to change much on the offense, really. You're still going to have Aiden O'Connell, Charlie Jones, guys like that. They're going to be big against the LSU defense. I don't know really what it does for the defense side yet because I don't know what coaches are going with him. So that's probably the bigger question is what are they going to be able to do against guys like Jalen Daniels, Kayshon Booty, those different guys.
Is there any – because there, we just obviously from a 10,000-foot view, we're nowhere near the situation, but it sounds like a lot of the assistants at Purdue are going to follow Jeff Brohm to Louisville. Is there any idea how many may stick around to coach this game?
No, not yet. It just seems a little bit too early. Obviously, Brohm, like I said, is a big Kentucky guy, so he's built a staff with a lot of Kentucky guys, so it would make sense for him to take a number of them with him. We just don't know who exactly is going to stay and who's going to go. I'd expect guys like David Ellison and Mark Hagan, who are two defensive coaches, they might stick around. They're big Indiana guys. But some of the guys like running back coach, the offensive line coach is close with Brohm. And then the quarterback's coach, I've also heard, not the quarterback's coach, but the wide receiver's coach. I think they all could be headed to Louisville. It's going to be a big list, and nobody's really sure who's going to be left.
You did bring up Aiden O'Connell, a sixth-year senior quarterback. Has he made a public announcement that he is going to play in the bowl game?
No, but yesterday when Brohm talked, Monday when he talked in his weekly press conference, he mentioned that he hadn't really heard of many players opting out. He hadn't had some conversations, but nobody had said they were opting out. And if you're in O'Connell's shoes, you don't really gain from opting out. He put a lot on tape, but he also can still put more on tape. And he's planning to get drafted and get a roster spot. So I think playing another game would help him.
Mick Walker is with us on Twitter at MickWalker247, covers Purdue. In what way do you anticipate this Brohm news, him leaving the team, will affect their preparation and maybe their play in the bowl game?
I'm not 100% sure yet because obviously I think depending on who they hire could give them some energy. There's a lot of energy surging behind Jamarcus Shepherd, who's a former Purdue assistant, Indiana guy that's now over at Washington. If he were to get hired as the head coach, I think the whole program and the team would have a lot of energy behind it, so I think that could change it. But if it's a coach that nobody really knows or if different circumstances happen, it's hard to see how this is going to affect how they're going to play. It's really up in the air just because it's so new.
Let me ask a couple more questions about this Purdue team. The Brohm news changes a lot of things about what I'm about to ask, but generally, what is the feeling about playing LSU in this bowl game coming off a loss in the Big Ten championship game?
Yeah, I think Brohm is a very competitive guy. I think he's instilled that in his program, but also it's something they're somewhat ready for considering they played Tennessee last year in their bowl game and Auburn the year before, so they're used to playing SEC opponents with SEC athletes. I don't think that's something the team's going to be scared of. And especially since I said that earlier, they're competitors. I don't think they like the taste they have left in their mouth after the Michigan loss. So I think you're going to get a pretty competitive Purdue team on January 2nd.
I mean, with any bowl game, I mean, one of the maybe the most important question is motivation. You know, who wants to be there? Who wants to be in that game? That's something I guess both these teams will find out once they line it up on January the 2nd. If I asked you about this team, strengths offensively and defensively that LSU is going to see on the second?
Yeah, Purdue is a very good down-to-down defense. If you look at them first, they give up a lot of explosive plays. So that's where LSU is going to have to attack them and perhaps beat them is beating them deep on explosive plays. But on the offensive side of the ball, it's an offense that likes to hit explosive plays. They get a lot of big chunk plays. They pass it around a lot. They use their wide receivers, tight end. Obviously, Charlie Jones has kind of been a star for them this year. And they just like to move the ball around. But they have had an emergence of a running back in Devin Bachaby, who's almost at 1,000 yards. They've become more of a balanced team this year. But like you said, that kind of depends on how they plan to attack LSU with the whole coaching changes and what play calls they might have in the book.
What about offensively?
Yeah, offensively, like I said, I think they're going to be explosive, and that's what they're going to look to do. They have struggled to when it comes to just turnovers. Aiden O'Connell's thrown his fair share of interceptions this year, so that's going to be a way that LSU can attack them and exploit them. But they're going to look to pass the ball down the field and do it early, often, and give the ball to Mockaby, the running back, when they can, see if they can change it up and just really take what LSU is going to give them.
Hey, Mick, before you go, you did mention Coach Shepherd, but any other names on the short list or the long list of potential targets that no doubt is growing here in the coming days?
Yes, I mean, it's really open right now. There's a lot of assistant coaches in the Big Ten, like a Ryan Walters or a Joe Rossi. Those are guys that could get a look. Sharon Moore, the offensive coordinator at Michigan, could also get a look. But then you're looking at head coaches, which is there's probably going to be some MAC guys, which are the big obviously tie up here in the region because there are a lot of Midwest schools. So you're looking at Jason Candle at Toledo or maybe Chris Creighton at Eastern Michigan. Those are the type of guys that I think broad picture are sort of getting a look right now.
He is Mick Walker, covers Purdue for 247 Sports. He's on Twitter at MickWalker247. Mick, we appreciate the time. I'm sure we'll be in touch between now and January 2nd, man. Thanks for taking a few minutes today.
Yep, you too. Thank you. Have a good one.
Okay, that'll do it for us here on a Thursday edition of LSU Daily from Drop Biscuit Studios. We're glad to have you aboard with us. If you haven't done so yet, please subscribe up to the pod on your favorite podcast app. Rate us, leave a review on iTunes, and let a friend know if they love the Tigers. We got you every single weekday for about 30 minutes or less here on LSU Daily from Drop Biscuit Studios.